Well, unlike you, Gary, I'm gonna even though Mike has already said what I'm just gonna say what Mike said, but and read the scriptures again. I'm gonna say the same thing that Mike just said, but perhaps in a different way, because that's the way preaching and teaching works. One person says it one way, another person says the same thing another way, puts it all together. Planting and watering, so on and so forth. So, what I typed in text earlier is there was a, we're talking about these Ephesians, right? And the fact that, well, I believe it's a fact, that the Ephesians to whom Paul wrote the letter was a different group of Ephesians than he met the first time when he went to Ephesus. And the first time Paul shows up in Ephesus is in Acts chapter 18. And we'll come in and we'll start reading here in verse 18. And notice he gets a wonderful reception. There's been some problems, but he gets there in Acts chapter 19. Acts 18, he shows up. Anyway, and let me just start reading. And Paul, after this, tarried there a good while, and took his leave of the brethren, sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow, and came to Ephesus, and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Right? So, here's what's going on here. Paul goes into Ephesus with Priscilla and Aquila. I think they first show up in Acts chapter 16 there in Philippi. And they've been run out of Rome. But he shows up there in Ephesus, and you see that they want him to stay there in Ephesus. They desired him to tarry longer time with them. Right? He's in the synagogue, as his pattern was, reasoning with the Jews. And so he sails from Ephesus, and he goes up to Jerusalem. This is his fourth trip back to Jerusalem that's recorded in the scriptures from the time of after Acts chapter 9. Okay? And notice that it's a real quick trip. It seems to be a very quick trip. I've already got the screen. Let me read verse 21 again. But Acts 18, verse 23. Just so we can see here. I'll start reading again in verse 21. But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed in Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. So we see that that trip to Jerusalem, where after he left Ephesus, was a real to keep that feast. And who's keeping feasts? Jews, right? Was a very brief visit. And Mike has done the study that studying all five of the trips that Paul made back to Jerusalem, And that is the only one where Paul is in and out of Jerusalem apparently real quick, right? And that's when we believe that this description here in Acts chapter 22, I'll read verse, that he had the temple vision. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. The temple vision is what we call that. And saw him saying, who did he see? He saw the risen, ascended, glorified Jesus Christ. And these are red letters. The risen, ascended, glorified Jesus Christ is saying, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Acts chapter 18, verse 22. And when, don't get confused, I just read Acts 22:18. It's a good way to remember it. But back in Acts 18:22, but when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. In and out. Get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So he came and went. And then, now let's go back. He ends up in Acts chapter 19 going back through. He followed a trail and he went back and he ends up in Ephesus. And, the first thing he deals with is those 12 certain disciples that I was asking about here recently. But anyways, after he deals with them, he goes back to the synagogue. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Verse 9. I want to pay attention to the reception that he got when he went back to the same place, to the same people, the same synagogue. But when diverse were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Tyrannosaurus Rex. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So I just wanted to point out there the difference when he's first in Ephesus in the synagogue of the Jews. They want him to stay. They don't want him to go to Jerusalem. They don't want him to keep the feast. They desire that he tarry with them longer. They're receptive to the message. But then when he returns after having that temple vision in Jerusalem, he returns to the same synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And you see that the reception that he got was quite different. And so he had to leave the synagogue and go to the school of Tyrannus, and then he stayed there for 2 years. Now, what was it that was different? What was different? And I pose this as a what I see in the scripture. Not everybody sees it in the scripture. This is what Mike teaches, going back to Acts chapter 22, and Paul's recounting these events, I believe, in Acts 18:22, when he went quickly up to, when he went up to Jerusalem, saluted the church, and then left town quickly. And then, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste Get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they, the Jews in Jerusalem, will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Now, Paul has been back to Jerusalem three times before this. In Acts 18, it was his fourth trip back. And they did receive his testimony. He didn't. He did, you know, preach the word. He preached the foundational gospel of God, I believe, to them. And not the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ. But we'll keep reading here. And this is still that temple vision. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Far hence unto the Gentiles. And as he's recounting these events, he's in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 21, he's been accused of taking Timothy, a Greek, into the temple. And there's a big, big to-do about it, and the crowd's making a big problem for Paul. And a Roman soldier, a Roman centurion, I guess, comes and he's going to arrest Paul. But Paul says, hey, wait a minute, dude, I'm a Roman citizen. And so because of his position as having a Roman citizenry, he's able to continue speaking. And so in Acts chapter 22, Paul begins speaking to a crowd of Jews in their own language. I guess I should there. And much like in Acts chapter 7 when Israel fell, in Acts chapter 7 when they stoned Stephen, I'm just finding the verses here. Paul stands up here in Jerusalem and he addresses the crowd. The last verse of Acts 21:40 is on your screen, and I'll just Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people, and when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, and then in Acts chapter 22, men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more the silence, and he saith. And then he went on to recount recount the events on the road to Damascus. And this is what confuses a lot of people. And he first recounts the events on the road to Damascus. And that ends, and that part of the Paul talking to these people ends in verse 16. I'll just put verse 14. He's finishing up talking about the events on the road to Damascus right here in verse 16. Then the context changes. Context changes in verse 17. And it came to pass. I heard someone teaching this topic. I think it was Steve Gottberg. That terminology in the Bible, and it came to pass, and it came to pass, is usually, if not always, an indicator, and Gary can probably, Gary's still here? Yeah. Is one of those terms in the Bible that indicate the passage of time has gone by. It's not like next week or next month. It came to pass is a, it's not a, exact amount of time, but it's a long time after a while. It's somebody taught that whenever, if you search it out, you'll see that whenever that terminology is used, some years went by. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And he had that temple version. And I saw him saying, get thee quickly, make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So this is what confuses a lot of people. A lot of people say that, well, that... And it came to pass that while I was in, when I was come again to Jerusalem, they take that back to Acts chapter 9 and Paul's first trip back to Jerusalem after the events of the road to Damascus, which is about 3 years, right? We know that he spent some time in Damascus, and then he went to Mount Sinai, or in Arabia. He went down to Arabia. And 3 years passed before his first trip back to Jerusalem. And he was coming and going in and out of Jerusalem, coming and going out of the temple. And he was preaching the gospel of God. He was preaching Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And his second trip back was... in Acts chapter 12, I believe, when there was a great dearth or there was a famine throughout the world, and so they sent for Barnabas and Saul, and he went back to Jerusalem, and they tasked him at that time with going out and getting money to bring back and feed the to feed or take care of the poor saints which were in Jerusalem, and he continued this task throughout his ministry, at least up until the time he was arrested. And I think afterwards he speaks about it in the book of Romans. He writes about it in the book of Philippians. But you know, those poor saints in Jerusalem, they sold all their possessions and had all things in common in Acts chapter 2, right? And that money was running out because they were expecting, you know, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to happen right around the corner. And it didn't happen because of Israel was fell in Acts chapter 7. So they were the poor saints which were at Jerusalem. And so Acts chapter 12 was Paul's second trip back to Jerusalem. Paul's third trip back to Jerusalem, of course we're all familiar with that, was in Acts chapter 15, at the meeting in Acts chapter 15, where Paul has recently returned from his first missionary journey, Acts chapter 13 and 14, and he comes back to his home base, which is the up there in Antioch in Syria. And Paul, you know, hears word that you know, there's some trouble stirring, that some people from Jerusalem have been stirring up trouble among the people there in Antioch of Syria, that they need to be circumcised, the Gentiles need to be circumcised, and they need to keep the law of Moses. So Paul recounts these events in Galatians chapter 2. I'm sure you're all, well, most of you, I know, are familiar with Paul's recounting of these events. That you can do the cross-references. Galatians 2, verses 1 through, I think, at least chapter 10, or verse 10. This lines up with his third trip back to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. The point being that in all three of these trips back to Jerusalem, that there's no indication that Paul needed to get quickly out of Jerusalem. There's no indication that they would not receive his testimony. Let me put those verses back on the screen as he's recounting the events in the Acts chapter 22 and verse 18. And saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So there's no indication that in those first three trips back to Jerusalem, as they're recorded in the Bible, there's no indication that there was a temple vision where Paul is told by the risen, ascended, glorified Jesus Christ, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. There's no indication whatsoever in those first three trips back. But in that fourth trip in Acts chapter 18, verse 22, that's the only one that fits, right? That's the only one that fits, right? And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch, in and out, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. One simple verse, right? Back to chapter 22. And so as he's recounting what the Lord told him in that temple vision, and he's in Jerusalem here in Acts on his fifth and final trip back to Jerusalem, and he's recounting what the Lord told him in that temple vision. He said, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now, Paul is going to Gentiles from Acts chapter 13 all the way on up to this Acts chapter, you know, in Ephesus and whatnot. He's been going to Gentiles all along, beginning in Acts chapter 13. And so, and the Jews never had a problem with the Gentiles to whom Paul was going, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Romans 1:16. They never had a problem with the audience. They never had a problem with the audience. What they had a problem with was the message. They had a problem with the message being the gospel of God, that Jesus was the Christ, that Jesus was the prophesied Messiah. And some of the Jews had a problem with it, and some of the Greeks had a problem with it. Those Jews and Greeks that Paul found in the synagogues of the Jews on the Sabbath day. They never had a problem with the audience. So why are they having a problem here with when Paul says in Acts chapter 22, verse 21, and then let me put verse 22. Why all of a sudden do they have a problem with him going to quote-unquote Gentiles? And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee, future tense language, far hence unto the Gentiles. And they, he's in Jerusalem, talking to Jews in the Hebrew tongue. So, what word would it be? Mike said it earlier. What word would it be that they heard there in Acts chapter 22:21? I will send thee far hence unto the goyim, those dirty dog Gentiles, those Gentiles who never darkened the door of a synagogue in their lives, those Gentiles that pork. had barbecued ribs, and wanted not. They were like the Ephesians to whom Paul wrote the letter, Ephesians 2 and chapter 12. That at that time you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and pay attention, without God in the world, right? Unlike the Gentiles, to whom the Gentile audience, the quote-unquote Greeks in your King James Bible, that Paul had been going to prior to this. So when he gets into Jerusalem there on that fifth and final trip, and he says, I will send thee far hence unto the Goyim Gentiles, and they gave him audience unto this word, at one word, and then lifted. Remember, they were quiet. It was, remember, I read those verses there, or, you know, there at the end of the Acts chapter 21, in the first few verses of Acts chapter 22. It was quiet. Everybody was listening. He had a captive audience. He was speaking in the Hebrew tongue. But then, when they hear that one word, when they hear that one word, because, it, like I said earlier in Acts chapter 22, well, he's speaking to them in the Hebrew tongue in this speech. Okay? And that's the word that would be used. Okay? Yes, I'm sort of hypothesizing here. Okay? But there's a difference. This goes back to the concept of, as Mike correctly states it, two conditions of Gentiles in the Bible. Those that were blessed according to the Abrahamic covenant of Genesis 12:3, and those that were not. The Greeks, Romans chapter 1 verse 16, the Jews and the Greeks. The Greeks would be an example of Gentiles who were blessed in accordance. Well, these far hence Gentiles, these Goyim Gentiles, I keep losing my place because I'm Acts chapter 22 and verse 22. And they gave him audience to this, unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And then they cried out, look, I mean, they went from being silent and listening to, holding on to every word that he said, until he said that one word, Goyim, dogs, Gentile dogs, dirty dog Gentiles, not Jew blessing Gentiles. And the chief cat, and so Paul gets arrested, right? Paul gets arrested, and he could have got off, but he didn't. He wanted to go to Rome, and he ends up in Rome. And so there's definitely a change that happens in Paul's ministry. And all mid-Acts dispensationalists acknowledge that the mysteries, that they acknowledge that there was more than one mystery given to the Apostle Paul. Most of them think he got it all on the road to Damascus. But they acknowledge that there's a progressive revelation to Paul. And they say that during the time period of the book of Acts. They use progressive revelation. I just want to leave it at that. It was progressive. Absolutely, they're correct. But what was the progression of those revelations? They want to just say, it was progressive revelation, just shut up and go to your room and color, don't worry about it. Or they want to say that the book of Acts is a time period of, it was a transition, Well, what was the order and timing of that transition? And that's what I'm trying to show you here. That something changed there in Acts 18, verse 22. Something changed in that temple vision, right? Right, transitions have phases. And there's a lot of things in the Bible where we have a verse or a context, a series of verses that we can point to and say, right there it is, right there. Acts chapter 7 is an example. Acts chapter 7 is an example of where we can point to and we can say, that's where Israel fell. Israel fell in Acts chapter 7. As Israel committed the so-called unpardonable sin in Acts chapter 7 when they stoned to death, they blasphemed the Holy Ghost when they stoned Holy Ghost-filled Stephen. That was the end of the acceptable year of the Lord. That was what Jesus of Nazareth was talking about in the parable of the fig tree. The 3 years and the 1 year. They had a 1 year extension. In Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The promised comforter came upon them. Thus began the ministry of the Holy Ghost. It lasted 1 year. In Acts chapter 7 was Pentecost 1 year later from Acts chapter 2. See, first there was the ministry of God the Father and the Old Testament prophets. And that's what Stephen is talking about in Acts chapter 7. Read Acts chapter 7. It's a Reader's Digest version of the history of Israel. And I'm not going to go look for the verses and post them. As Mike knows, it's hard to, you know the verse, but it's, you don't know, you know it on, I know it on the page, you know, I know it's on, but when I'm looking for it in my verse poster, it's hard to find the exact verse. But in Stephen's sermon there in Acts chapter 7, it's Pentecost 1 year after Acts 2 Pentecost, and he's talking about the Old Testament prophets, right? There was the ministry to Israel, from God the Father, and that's the Old Testament Hebrew prophets, right? From Abraham and Moses and David and all the Isaiah. And they rejected those prophets. They rejected them. They killed, in many instances, those Old Testament Hebrew prophets were killed. They rejected the ministry of God the Son. You know, they rejected the ministry of Jesus Christ, the 3 years that he walked the earth. That was God the Son. They rejected that. Might be a good time to show that unpardonable sin, right? I think it's 31 and 32. Yes. This is Jesus of Nazareth, in red letters, during his earth, and wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be, future tense, forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So they rejected the ministry of God the Father. They rejected the ministry of God the Son when they crucified their Messiah. And then in Acts chapter 7, they rejected the ministry of the Holy Ghost when they stoned Holy Ghost-filled Stephen. Strike 3, the Godhead is made up of 3 parts. They rejected the ministry of all 3 parts of the Godhead, and Israel fell. And I'll finish this up here. And I believe Acts. This is what happened. Just as Jesus of Nazareth, he's speaking to the elders of the nation of Israel here in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 43. I just remembered the verse because I did this the other night. I think it's verse 23. he was in the temple, and there were the chief priests there and the elders of the people, and this is his audience in verse, this is who he's speaking to in verse 43. He's speaking to the leadership of the nation of Israel. Matthew 21:43. Therefore I say unto you, the leadership, the nation of Israel, the kingdom of God shall be, future tense, taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now, who is Jesus of Nazareth prophesying about? Who is this nation bringing forth the fruits thereof? Now, a lot of people out there in the religious world, they say, that's us. That's the church, the body of Christ. No, no, it's not. The nation that it's given to is Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. This is another thing that happened in Acts chapter 7. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So the nation, the kingdom of God, was taken from the leadership of Israel in Acts chapter 7, strike 3. They rejected the ministry, the 1 year ministry of the Holy Ghost, and was given to the little flock of kingdom saints. A lot of times we have direct verses or a chapter or a series of chapters where we know an event occurred, where we know that a transition took place, when we know that a particular mystery was revealed, for example. But a lot of times we don't. There's not a verse that we can point to. All we have is a window of time. And that's what we're trying to figure out. You know, like I said, all mid-Acts dispensationalists will say that there is a difference. You know, the book of Acts is a book of transition, and it was progressive revelation to the Apostle Paul. But why leave it there? Why leave it there and just say, go to your room and color, don't ask too many questions? Why not delve into it? Why not try to figure out what the order and timing of that transition, of those transitions were? What was the progression of those revelations? And that's what we're trying to figure out here. And Mike believes and teaches what I do, that one of the major transitions in the Bible occurred in Acts 18, chapter 22. And that was when that temple vision occurred. That was the last mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. It wasn't the mystery, it wasn't the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the rapture. All those things have already been revealed to Paul. It's what I call the mystery of Ephesians chapter 3, which is the fellowship of the mystery. Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Leading us back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Not according to the scriptures, hid in God, right? Not just according to the scriptures, but all the fellowship of the mystery, all people, the final mystery revealed to the Apostle Paul there in that temple vision, which occurred in his fourth trip back to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 18. And then, you know, a lot of times Paul received a revelation of a mystery, but he didn't immediately reveal it to, you know, his audience. He had to wait until the due time. Let me see if I can find the verse I'm thinking of here. Titus. No, it's 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, one of the pastoral epistles is one of the last letters that Paul wrote. These are called the prison epistles. So this is the fellowship of the mystery. This is all people, not just to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Okay, that's it. Any comments or questions? Mike, do it again. If they didn't get it the first time, they'll get it the second. Gary, you want to give it a whirl? That's the way this works. We're not an all agreeers club, but one person can try to show something from Scripture in one way, and maybe somebody see a little glimmer of it, and then another person can do the same thing, try to show the same thing, just in a different way and different words, and you know, a little bit more light will shine on it, and then you hear it again and again and again, and finally it clicks. And yes, this thanks for that, Andy. This understanding changes none of the important doctrine that concerns the church, the body of Christ. You see, I believe that there were two sendings of the Apostle Paul. There were two dispensations to the Apostle Paul. There were the first sending, he was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The second sending, he was sent to all people without exception. There were two dispensations to the Apostle Paul. There was a dispensation of the gospel of Christ. Let me go ahead and put those. I know those verses by heart. 1 Corinthians 9:17, last part of the verse. A dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. And we know in Romans, and that in the next verse, we see it's the name of that gospel that was dispensed and committed to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. It's the gospel of Christ, and we know that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. But the first sending was to the Jew first, and also to the Greek first. Jews and Greeks. All Greeks are Gentiles, but not all Gentiles are Greeks. Greeks are Gentiles that Paul would find in the synagogue of the Jews over and over and over and over again in your Bible. And then there are the two conditions of Gentiles in the Bible. The Greeks are Gentiles who were seeking after the wisdom of God. And in so doing, they were going into the synagogue of the Jews, and they were blessed. In accordance with Genesis 12, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And so they were blessed to hear Paul preach by being there in the synagogue of the Jews on the Sabbath day. And then there are the far hence Gentiles, the ones that never darkened the door of a synagogue in their lives, that knew nothing, they were without God, no hope, Goyim Gentiles, they were like those idol-worshipping Gentiles in Ephesus, Gentiles who were all upset that Paul's preaching ruining their business, because they were silversmiths and they were making little idols that they could sell to people. And so there were two dispensations to Paul. There were two sendings of Paul. There are two conditions of Gentiles in the Bible. And there were three gospels that Paul preached. He preached the foundational gospel of God that tells us who Jesus Christ is. Peter preached the gospel of God. Philip preached the gospel of God. Paul also preached the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then the second dispensation of the grace to Paul was the dispensation of the grace of God, which corresponds to the gospel of the grace of God, which is the third gospel that Paul preached, which is the same salvation message, the gospel of Christ, but it's just to an expanded audience.